to the Groups Matter podcast, episode 28. I'm Brian Daniel with co-host Chris Surratt. Thank you for being with us. And Chris, we're back for episode 2 of 2.0, I guess you could say?
2.0, yes. Yes.
You know, at some point we'll drop that, right? But for now it just seems right. Or maybe 2.0 is dated. Just really bad dated language, and I shouldn't do that.
Well, I didn't know if I would make it from episode 1 of 2.0 to episode 2 of 2.0, so I'm just excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to be here with you as well. So here we are, 1st of August. Last week, you told us a little bit about your path to ministry, and I think this time of year, it's back to school time, so yep. I think it's appropriate to tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, I'm married, obviously, and my wife, Jenny, and we have two daughters, one that is 17 and one that just turned 13, and we live just not far from Lifeway, actually, in downtown Nashville, and it's kind of an interesting time because my oldest daughter is a senior now, and so we are exploring the college route, kind of touring some colleges and seeing where she's going to go, which is a scary, kind of exciting time in our life. And we're just trying to decide what the future is for her education.
There is no way to prepare for that college drop-off, let me just say, having gone through it a few years ago. So we're looking at my oldest daughter heading off to medical school and my youngest daughter starting the university life. We're like double, I mean, going full bore, double. Wow. empty nester, if there is such a thing. We'll see. I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out.
I've heard from a lot of empty nesters that they come and go, that you think you have an empty nest, and then they're back for a season, yep. And then they're gone. You know, what's kind of funny is we've always heard, my wife and I, that, oh, it's going to be awful. You know, your kids are going to leave, and don't tell them. Hopefully they don't listen to this, but we're kind of excited. We're kind of excited. We love our kids, but I don't know.
I think we're going to be okay. So, Chris, you're being especially modest. You listeners should know Chris's daughter has done very well, and you're not just looking at any colleges. I know there's still a lot of work to be done, mm-hmm. But she's done well enough to where you to consider some of those big institutions, or at least prestigious institutions in the Northeast. So that's kind of cool. I don't know too many people that are looking at those kinds of places.
Yeah, she got her brains from her mom. So she's
right.
She's smart and got a perfect score in her ACT and has got amazing GPA. So that's opened up some doors. We just got back from a tour of Harvard and Yale. And so if anybody listening wants to give me a lot of money so we can afford those institutions, we may actually make it happen.
All right, so we're excited about our featured guest for this episode. We've had him here before, so, you know, in the spirit of second-timers, we've got Alan Taylor back.
I'm excited to get to know Alan a little bit better. He and I came on at Lifeway about the same time, and I haven't really got to talk to Alan much, but Alan is the Director of Christian Education for Lifeway Christian Resources. Before coming to Lifeway, he most recently served as the Minister of Education at First Baptist Church in Woodstock, Georgia, which is a really tiny church there outside of Atlanta,
right.
Being facetious there. But he's written books, The Six Core Values of Sunday School, and Sunday School in HD, and also a couple of DVD training series about Sunday school. So this guy is the expert when it comes to Sunday school ministry.
Yeah, 20 years at Woodstock, and it doesn't show up in his bio, but he's also a former football coach, as I understand it.
Wow, so that's kind of you too. That's,
yeah, and there's no mistaking the football coach part of Alan Taylor. In this little bitty room, I think he's gonna fill it up. So let's get Alan in here, and we got several things to talk with Alan about. So, Alan Taylor, thanks for being with us on the Groups Matter podcast show today.
Well, thanks for having me, Brian. I've looked forward to it.
So, you've got a lot of stuff going on. You're on the road. How many days a year are you on the road?
I haven't counted. More than I'm not.
And if you had to guess how many churches you're in on any given rolling 12 months, just take a guess at that.
Gosh. 75.
There you go. And we've already said that you've been in Sunday school ministry for 20 years, so happy to have you with us today. So we wanted to talk about the on-track event that you've got scheduled for just after the first of the year. So let's just start. Why are you calling it on-track?
Well, the reason we're calling it On Track is we were in a meeting discussing the fact that we needed a national Sunday school conference. And certainly there's, you know, you have state conferences, you have regional and local associational conferences, but we felt like there ought to be a national conference. And so we were in a room, several of us discussing this, and first of all, we talked about, is there a need for it? I mean, why have a conference if there's not a need? And of course, it was quickly established that there was a need for it. And one of the things that quickly established it was the statement was made, I think, by David Francis, who said, we've got so many of our Sunday schools that are off track.
Mm.
And so we got talking about that, and that's the reason On Track came about. We said, well, if they're off track, let's get them on the track, because obviously if you're off track, you're derailed. You're a wreck. You're not heading anywhere. You can only get to your destination once you get on track. And what gets you on track? Well, training does. Equip leaders does. So, and then not only that, but the fact that everybody can come to this conference and hear the same thing. And so, you know, a track is pretty narrow. You got two rails and you're going one direction and you're going to a certain destination. So all of that combined created the sense that, well, let's just call it On Track, and let's get back on the track and let's get headed for a destination.
Okay, On Track, Off Track makes a lot of sense to me, because it does make a lot of sense. So talk to us about just the value of a group coming together to something like this. I mean, so the content obviously is going to be helpful. This event was designed for Sunday school and getting groups on track. But there's also an innate value in just being together and hearing it at the same time and being in the same place and hearing the same message, correct?
Oh, great point. In fact, that may be the greatest part of coming. When I served as Minister of Education at First Baptist Woodstock, we did several Sunday school conferences over the years. I remember after one particular conference, I get a letter one day from a pastor in West Virginia. And in the letter, basically, he thanked us for putting on the conference and complimented the conference speakers and just all that his Sunday school leaders had learned while they were there. And he was very excited about that. But then in the last paragraph of the letter, he said, but I got to be honest with you, Alan. The best part of the conference was the bus ride home. I mean, you stop and think about it, Brian. For 2 days, his Sunday school workers had done nothing but eat, sleep, and breathe Sunday school. Well, they get back on that bus. They're all pretty charged up. And he said in that letter, he said, the best Sunday school leadership meeting I've ever had was those several hours, because we were energized. We all heard the same thing. We all had to come from the same point of reference. And so now as we start driving, we started sharing things and people sharing what they learned, and we got talking about how we could implement them and all that. And so he just said, man, that bus ride home was ecstatic. And, man, there was energy in that bus. And so, you know, I would say to any pastor, any minister of education, any lay Sunday school director, whatever, one of the best things you can do is get your people together, do an event like this. I mean, you know, Brian, anytime you take a trip with someone, even if it's whatever that trip is, there's a camaraderie. There's a unity and a bond that comes about that. I mean, you and I both, and I'm sure every listener can think of people that they know they've been on trips with, and their whole friendship is built off of the platform of, you know, whatever. They went to a ball game together or went on a fishing trip together, whatever. And so this lends itself very much that way. And so, you know, the information's going to be great, but just the synergy that's going to come out of that with your people. Man, that's got to move your Sunday school further down the track than where it is now.
All right. So in terms of, with that being said, those leaders or individuals that should seriously think about attending would include all Sunday school teachers, Sunday school leaders of any kind, potential Sunday school workers. I guess these people that have been identified by leadership or maybe have expressed interest in Sunday school leadership.
Correct.
And these sessions are designed with all of those in mind. Did I leave anybody out in that group?
No, really. I mean, we've tried to design a holistic conference so that preschool through senior adults, you can bring them, teachers, K care group leaders, people involved in outreach and assimilation, all those kind of things, even hospitality. We've got some things on that. So we've tried to be inclusive of the Sunday morning experience to where everybody can come and get something.
Okay, so if I'm a local church pastor, minister of education, or Sunday school director, then why should I go to the trouble to bring a group of these leaders to this conference?
Okay. Well, obviously, one of the reasons is what we've already stated, just a synergy that you have. But one of the things that is often seen in Sunday schools, we get siloed off. You know, the preschool people, they're only around preschool people. The youth people, they only hang out with the youth people. But the truth is, it really takes a collective team to make Sunday school work. For instance, if you teach a young adult class, what good is your class going to be, and how can it grow if you got a terrible preschool department and parents don't want to drop their kids off? I mean, the truth is that young adult department needs that preschool department. And the opposite's true. The preschool department needs that young adult department to have something to want the parents to come to so they can have their kids. So we're in this thing together. And so I just think it helps break down the Sunday school silos within your organization when everybody can go. And I think you appreciate what every person brings to the team. When I was a football coach, by the way, at practice, let's take if it's an offensive day. Well, you know, in one corner of the field, you got your quarterbacks working. In another corner of the field, you got the linemen. Another, the running backs. Another, the receivers. But before the day's over with, all of those units come together to work on those plays together. You got to perfect your trade in those position breakout sessions. But you only win games as you come together as a team, and everybody perfects that together in unity with one another. It's sort of the same thing. Yeah, I mean, we break it down in these age divisions, but at the end of the day, the Sunday school, they're a team. In fact, I've often said Sunday school is a team sport, and it's going to take us all. So I think that's a great benefit of everybody coming together in this.
So, Alan, you've already mentioned this idea of being together for so long. The word I like to use is immersive. So this is an immersive experience with Sunday school. That is a great illustration, I mean, for those that understand football, I guess.
Well, and they don't, they should, of course.
That's right. I mean, that's right. I mean, you've got English and then football should be your second language, yeah. Right? Particularly in the South. So, yeah, and we talked about, like, on the ride home. So this would be a follow-up question I would have for you. So I'm not as, and not too many people are as steeped in the Sunday school tradition as you are. Is that siloed approach, is that something that you run into? I mean, even if it's not stated, if you just sense that organizationally in a lot of the churches, is that something that you run into a lot in your conversations?
Well, what happens is generally, it really, the larger you become and grow, the more it's prevalent. And so the smaller you are, you may not have that issue. But as you start to grow, you can see this thing start to raise its ugly head.
So I can see, as a part of this experience, you know, everyone would leave with the same point of reference. You know, too often we go to a conference and get great ideas and then leave fired up. The problem is there's no one else who has those ideas and who's fired up when you get back. And so
correct.
Bringing a group and then just being together, like we've already said, and you know, 2 days doing nothing but eat, sleep, and breathe Sunday school. So,
yeah, but let me interrupt you, please.
Yeah.
But Brian, I also want to say it's a great way to sell a vision. You know, too often we leave the vision to be sold by only the visionary. But yet visions are better sold by a team of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if again, what you just said, if I go to a conference, get fired up, man, I may come back and I may, if I can, sell a few people on that idea. But if several of us go and come back and we're fired up, we sell this vision. We cast this vision to many, many others. The net that we cast is much broader. And so there again, it helps your Sunday school get further down the track because there's more people helping to drive that engine than just one single person. So we never think about the benefit of a team doing vision casting. But it's the best way to do it.
Well, let's face it. It's one of the challenges of leading volunteers. This is almost an exclusively volunteer ministry, as most of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find yourself casting vision to somebody 1/7 of the time, which is just Sunday or maybe some other day you can get people together. So this is an opportunity to build consensus, which is a big part of leadership, mm-hmm. and getting buy-in from everyone. Everyone hears the same thing and leaves with the same conclusions. And if they don't, then you've got the ride home to convince them, right?
Yeah, there you go. Everybody else can jump on them.
That's right. So what topics, do you have that already kind of planned out?
Yeah,
what
topics
you're going to be addressing?
First of all, to let you know the basic format, there's going to be two general sessions. Eric Geiger will speak at one, and I will speak at the other. And then we're going to have two sessions for age division training. Age division would be, for instance, the preschool department. We'll have, for those that work with the younger preschoolers, two sessions for them, and for the older preschoolers, two sessions for them. The younger children, two sessions. Older children, two sessions. So middle school, high school, college, singles, young adult, median adult, senior adult, all that. So you get two. Again, that's where the linemen go with the linemen, and the backs go with the backs, and we got two sessions. So two general sessions, two age division sessions, and then we have what we're calling two topical sessions. And the topical sessions are, so we've asked the speakers at the topical sessions, we want you to do yours twice. That way, every person there can choose the top two they want to go to, and it doesn't matter which hour they're going to get it. And so we see a great benefit in those. So, you know, when you look at that, for instance, some of the topical things that we're doing, for preschoolers, we're going to talk about creative ways to use the Bible when teaching preschoolers. We'll talk about, teaching preschoolers from the standpoint of having extra activities and how to use ideas that can teach. And so those would be very valuable to preschool teachers. For children, they'll look at actually how to counsel a child through the salvation process. They'll do things like how to connect with families by using your Vacation Bible School. They'll talk about how to connect with families just through the Sunday school time. In student ministry, we'll talk about discipleship that transforms and impacting the school campus, how to partner with parents of youth. And then they're going to do one on creative teaching, and I think the title of it is something like Boring is Lame. And so so anyway, we'll do a couple of for college area. I mean, what a needed area today to reach college. And so they're going to talk about how to identify leaders for college. They're going to talk about understanding some pitfalls before it's too late in the college ministry. Then when you get into the adult, one of the things that we really wanted to do, at least from the standpoint of so many that come probably will be using Lifeway curriculum, we're actually going to have breakout sessions to where if a person's teaching Explore the Bible, well, the guy that's over that is Dwayne McCleary. Dwayne's going to be there and show you the beauty of this is, by the way, we're going to do it with Explore the Bible. We're going to do it with Bible Studies for Life, and we're going to do it with the Gospel Project. So that if a teacher is teaching in that curriculum, they can actually go to a breakout, and the people that's over those curriculum lines will actually walk them through how to use that, understand the scope and sequence, and how to use that to get the most out of that lesson. Our teachers are our lay people. They have limited time to study. They got jobs, they got children, they got chores. And now this, they can come to this and take one of those sessions and go and learn actually how to take that curriculum and maximize it so that it makes the best of their time in study to give them the very best lesson they can have for Sunday morning. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I'm a teacher and I got to show up every Sunday morning with a lesson, that's invaluable to me. And so we'll do those, many more that we'll do in the area of adults as well. But I at least wanted to highlight those three because, to me, I think a lot of teachers are going to want to take advantage of that. We'll look again at hospitality. David Apple is going to lead a session. I love the title, The Strategy Behind the Coffee and Donuts. So anyway, on and on I could go with that, but.
So those lead editors, so all attendees in those tracks will have access to those lead editors. And these are the guys, just for those of you that don't know, these are the guys that are behind general editor and writer recruiting. These are the guys behind the outlines, and they don't work independent, but they are a big part of developing outlines and scope and sequence. And any kind of refresh or relaunch, these are the individuals that are largely responsible for that. So it's no small thing that Dwayne and I assume Lynn Pryor for Bible Studies for Life.
And Trevin Wax.
And Trevin. So Trevin will be there for the Gospel Project.
Correct.
All right. So this conference is scheduled for March 17th and 18th. That's 2017. in Hendersonville, Tennessee. That's just north of Nashville. It's very accessible to Nashville, so I don't know how much free time you'll have, but it wouldn't be any problem just to hop down to the city for a night or a meal. But Hendersonville's a really nice place, too. First Baptist Church there. It's a Friday night, Saturday morning format. So, Alan, in terms of this time of year, was there a particular reason why you chose March?
Yes. First of all, we know a lot of people already do fall training. And so we decided that, well, there's no sense trying to compete with that. And if they're getting good training in, you know, their local associations or churches or states, then we wanted to applaud that, not in any way be competitive with it. We also wanted to stay away from January and February just because of the weather. And so actually the week we were choosing was the week before this one. But that's the weekend of the SEC basketball tournament here, and it's just hard to get hotels. So that's the reason we ended up going March.
Or you could get hotels. It's just going to cost you a little bit.
Well, yes, it would. So anyway, that's the reason we ended up going March 17th and 18th. It puts it at a different time of year when a lot of people are doing training, and it gets you out of the bad weather much to where people can make the travel.
Yeah, and March is such a great time to get out of the house or the routines. You know,
yes, it is.
The clouds are breaking just a little bit. A website is www.lifeway.com/ontrack. What about cost?
Okay, thanks for asking. We've tried to keep this at really a minimum because we want it to be so that as many people as possible can come. So if you register between now and October the 31st, it's $40 a person. Now, I hope everybody understands the prices we're charging. We're going to be lucky to break even on this. We're not doing it to make money. We're doing it to train workers. So if you register between now and October 31st, it's $40. If you register after October the 31st, but by January the 15th, it's $55. And if it's January the 16th or after, it's $70. So every time it jumps $15. And of course, let's just lay the cards on the table. We're doing this because we want people to register as early as possible, because the sooner we know how many's coming, obviously the better we prepare for that. And so that just helps us. And yet we do know, I mean, as a former minister of education, I know when I would do things like this, I'm going to have some people that they're not going to let you know till a few days before. So we understand that, but at least, you know, this gives people a chance to, you know, if you think you can bring, you know, 20 people, well, go ahead and register for 15 of them now. You know, that way you can at least save some money, if you will. But so the idea is to make it cheaper on you earlier, but it helps us to get prepared for you.
I know there was a time when Sunday school was real popular, these training events at Ridgecrest and Glorieta. How similar is the mentality here to what we used to do at the conference centers?
Yeah. I think the major difference is we're condensing it in a real tight time frame. I think the thing that probably hurt Ridgecrest, and man, I used to love to go to Sunday school mm-hmm. week at Ridgecrest. Back when I was a layman, I literally would take a week's vacation to go. But I think the thing that ended up hurting Ridgecrest is, you know, it used to be a week, and then it was in some cases condensed to 5 days, and some down to three or whatever. We're doing this, so it's just staying over one night, and I think that's the major difference. Now, obviously, if you're going to be gone 4 or 5 days, you're going to be able to get more training, more material. But the good part of doing it in a condensed version, it makes us give you what you really need, mm-hmm. and not a lot of extras. And so that we're going to be centering in on that.
Again, that's www.lifeway.com on track. And Alan, I'm going to go off script here. We're also working on another project. It's called Sunday School Matters. Mm-hmm. And this is a video-driven training, and you're using, I think, 9 additional, if my math is right. You're leading 2 of these sessions. It's 12 different training sessions with leaders from a lot of different places, right, across the denominational spectrum, for sure, mm-hmm. and also within the Lifeway family. I know Dr. Eric Geiger is correct. A contributor, as well as Dr. Tom Rayner.
Correct, and David Francis.
And David Francis, of course, Mr. Mm-hmm. Sunday School. Mm-hmm. So that's releasing in January. So here's an opportunity just to share a little bit about that project, your vision behind it. How long have you been thinking about that? And now that we're, you know, kind of on the eve of production, we had some video shoots just this week, and we're coming up on a few more. I mean, Talk to us about just what makes you excited about getting this out there.
Okay, thanks. Actually, Brian, this has been in my heart for probably 3 or 4 years. I actually have on my computer notes that I made 3 or 4 years ago about this very project. So when I came to Lifeway in the process of coming, I talked with them about wanting to do this. As Brian had mentioned, it's a DVD training series. It's titled Sunday School Matters. And the reason for the title is it's real simple. Sunday school does matter. We need to act like it matters. We need to train like it matters. We need to prepare like it matters. And so that's when we just started thinking about the different subjects that Sunday schools ought to look at within the context of their own Sunday school. That's how we came up with the 12 sessions. Since it's Sunday School Matters, every session has the word matters in it. I think I can remember them all. Let's see if I can. The first session is Leadership Matters. And then we're going to do Vision Matters. And then we're going to talk about Souls Matter. Teaching Matters. Transformation Matters. Curriculum Matters. Organization Matters. Assimilation Matters. Growth Matters. New Groups Matter. And the last one that I'll do is Now Matters. The Lord's coming, now matters. We need to have an urgency about us. So those are the sessions. I really believe in my heart. Leon Kilworth was a man many decades ago that used to go around the country doing what he called Sunday school revivals. Brian, I believe with all my heart that if a church takes this, takes their leaders through it, I believe it can cause a Sunday school revival. And our churches need it. We still believe that Sunday school is a great, it's just a great, great commission tool for every church. And so we really are trusting God for it to revitalize and just have Sunday school revival. We've literally brought in some of the best people in America. And one of the things that we've tried to do is make sure that not only were we addressing the right topics, but also do we have the right person who's going to come and address that topic. Someone that's got some kind of expertise in that. And I think God has blessed us with a great faculty for this. I could not be more pleased with who we have to come to do the teaching for this. So, as you mentioned, it comes out January the 1, and basically a person gets the kit. Sunday school director gets his people together. He puts in the DVD and listens to about 25 minutes worth of teaching, and every participant needs a workbook that will come with the kit. And they go through the workbook, and each session will have the major points and outlines and a few fill in the blanks. And then at the end of that, there's a page that's called Drive It Home. And then it's going to have some questions and some exercises and some things for you to evaluate. And so basically it'll take probably at the most an hour. But by the time you watch the DVD for approximately 25 minutes, then you're going to have another 25, 30 minutes to discuss using that Drive It Home page. How do we literally drive it home here at our local church and take these principles and make them work? And again, that's the reason I believe if a Sunday school leadership team would come together for those 12 sessions, I'm telling you, I believe it would do something in their own hearts, and I believe it'll do something in their Sunday schools.
Well, that'll be out in January, and I'm sure that there'll be additional discussion at the On Track event in March. So for any questions, is there besides lifeway.com/ontrack? You want to give them an email address? Can people email you directly?
They could email me directly. My email address is my name, Alan, but you must spell it the way I do, Allan.Taylor@lifeway.com. Allan.Taylor@lifeway.com. And I'd be glad to entertain any questions.
That's Allan.Taylor@lifeway.com. And again, the URL is lifeway.com/ontrack for registration, or there's probably some helpful information there. So, Alan, you and I met, I guess it's close to 2 years ago. You were in town. Alan, a lot of people don't know, but Alan was a part of the Disciples Path project. So what we did was we brought, I guess it was 15 to 17 leaders, disciple makers from across the nation, and you were a part of that group. And we brought Alan and the other disciple makers into Nashville for a two-day white paper. And so we had just a blank page, and this group actually and I still don't know how we did it. It was nothing short of divine to be able to pull that off and then have the writing and pull that together on the editorial side and then test it in the churches. So I know you and I were in the same one of the same groups pulling together to make one of those resources. So I can speak with certainty that Alan Taylor has done nothing in his life half-heartedly. So I can tell you that both of these projects, Small Group Matters and the On Track event, are going to be dynamite. So I would encourage everyone to take a look at these, go to the website, email Alan with questions, start getting the word out in your leaders and churches. And I think it was an excellent suggestion to start looking for those potential leaders or others that can be involved at Sunday school at whatever level. And Alan's already mentioned a lot of those. And start building some energy behind this event and plan to be with us in March.
One other thing I'd like to add, Brian, is a lot of churches are right now in the budget planning process, getting their budget prepared for the fall. If your fiscal year starts probably, you know, September, October, as a lot do, you know, this would be a good time to actually put in your budget. Maybe for this On Track, you know, maybe your people pay for part of it, but maybe your church is going to pay for the van or the bus to bring them or whatever to help supplement the cost of what it would be for a person. If I could just share one more thing, the first church I served when I went there, I went there as the minister of education / administration. So that meant that once a month I had to meet with the finance committee. And so I get there, I inherit a budget, I have to work with that. But when it comes time for the new budget year, I actually put in a new line item. I just called it leadership training. And I put in $10,000 for leadership training. And so, you know, I tried to explain that. And so here this church had never had a minister of education or a church administrator. So I'm trying to really help our Sunday school get off dead center. It was a okay Sunday school, but it was just plateaued, wasn't moving anywhere. And I thought, man, I got to get some training to my leaders because I know that's going to move us. So the finance committee, though, they were nice people, but, man, they just said, Alan, I remember one guy in particular, he said, Alan, he said, we've never had this line item. We're adding $10,000 to the budget just with this one thing. And so I explained to him that I knew that was the case, and I knew that could be a hard pill to swallow, but I explained to him that this was not an expense of the church. This was an investment into the leaders of the church who are going to be the ones that's going to grow the church. And when the church grows, it brings in more money. And so, anyway, we had our debates. And when everything was finished, though, they gave me the $10,000. I remember that year I did training. I remember taking them, you'd mentioned, to Ridgecrest. Mm-hmm. I begged them to go, Brian. I told them, I said, listen, if you go, the church was paying so much, and then they were paying some. And I here was the promise I made to every one of them. If you go and it wasn't worth your money, I will personally pay you back. Now, I'm going to tell you, that church didn't pay me much. For me to have paid them back, I'd had to find a second job. But that was what I told them. Well, they went and loved it. In fact, they loved it so well, the next year I had people coming up inviting me to go because, again, the synergy, when they went, they became my salesman. They got telling other people about it. But anyway, that year I took them to Ridgecrest. I did some training at the church. I remember bringing in Harry Pylon one night to do some training. Well, after that, the next year, I looked in our state Baptist paper that just mailed, and I just perusing through it, and there was an article on the fastest growing Sunday schools in our state that year, and that year we were the 9th fastest growing Sunday school in the state, and I'm telling you, the only thing we did different, we trained our workers, and that's the reason I'm telling you, it's not an expense. It's an investment. So get your budget so that you can help supplement this to help your people. Put in your budget to get this Sunday School Matters training kit, because when you expose your people to that, you make them better, and when you make them better, you make your Sunday school better.
Yeah, it's a comprehensive experience. It's not just about the training and the content that's there. It's about the energy. It's about being together. It's about a shared and collective vision. It's about assembling and hearing from God all at one time about this important ministry, the group's ministry, Sunday school ministry of any church. So, Alan, thanks for being with us today. And if you have questions, email Alan. He's given you his email address, or check out that website, lifeway.com/ontrack. And let's do it again. Let's get you back on here.
Thank you, Brian, for having me today.
That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Groups Matter. We'd like to, again, thank our sponsor, smallgroup.com. So you'll want to get over there and look at that. That is a customizable, editable tool to build curriculum for your off-campus groups. or any other additional meeting. We use it in our men's ministry a lot, and we use it. Both Chris and I do. Chris is one of the spokespeople or people most responsible for smallgroup.com, and we're really proud of that tool. So would encourage everyone to take a look. So that's going to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Alan, and see you guys down the road.